It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 323, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. You can find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. It's NFL draft season, and Matt and I talk about which former Cougars are likely to hear their names called this weekend. We also discuss men's volleyball, Elijah Bryant turning pro, and how that will affect next year's team. And we play our popular game, Answering Machine. It's back, folks. But first up, football analyst Emory Hunt returns to the show to talk about the NFL draft. I start off by asking him about how he evaluates Fred Warner as an NFL prospect.
My first experience or exposure to Fred Warner was at the Senior Bowl, and he was very impressive that entire week. I was like, man, this guy is really looking like the ideal weak side backer. He's chasing run plays down from the backside, and he's, you know, constantly disrupting plays with his speed. I can't wait to dive into his tape because what he's shown out here in Mobile was pretty impressive. And then when I go on to the tape, you start to see, okay, maybe it's a little bit inconsistent, you know, because sometimes he flashes, other times he's non-existent. And so I came around the thought process that he's a guy that I would consider a mid-round prospect, but you like the peaks, but you want to see him try to flatline that level of consistency in his game.
Yeah. So tell me more about that, like overall, not specific to Fred Warner, but when you see a prospect that's inconsistent, that maybe different games seems to disappear, other games somewhat dominant, like you said, he looked really good that week of the Senior Bowl, got a lot of good feedback from coaches and analysts like yourself that watched that. I mean, from a NFL perspective, how is that viewed? Is that viewed as something fixable? Is that viewed as maybe that's going to carry on? Because we know there are NFL players that week to week have similar issues where they're not as consistent with their play as they could be.
I think for him, it's that's a great question. I believe for him, it's about a coaching staff or a team putting him in position to where he can consistently hit those peaks. For instance, if we know a guy is an outstanding pass rusher, don't put him in on run plays. You know, put him in when you know it's an obvious passing situation. Therefore, he can do what he does best. So try to use him situationally, and that will help him reach that peak more consistently than what we saw in college.
Yeah. So specific back to Warner is, I mean, what kind of system do you think he'd fit in, or what kind of role on an NFL team do you think would enable Fred Warner to kind of reach his potential?
You know, Warner, to me, still is a good weak side linebacker prospect. And with the way the league is now, you want guys out on the field, number one, that can run. He definitely can do that. And two, guys that can really hold their own in the passing game. I think that's where he'll be ideally suited. And, you know, we talk about the base defense being nickel defenses nowadays as opposed to standard 4-3-3-4. So I think with his skill set, you know, he'll have a role out there. So any team that is heavily using lighter linebackers, guys that can really get out there and cover, chase the quarterback, and be effective versus the run from a speed perspective, I think that's where he'll be best suited.
Well, let me it's a related question, but it's not specific about Warner. We saw, you know, Kyle Van Noy playing for the Patriots the last couple of years, got traded there by the Lions. And has blossomed into, you know, maybe not a Pro Bowl player, but a very good contributor on a defense that played in a couple of Super Bowls. And you know, he kind of disappeared, injuries, maybe ineffectiveness. How important is landing in the right place for an NFL prospect as far as the coaching staff, the system? I mean, is that make or break for most of these guys, or do you think that's maybe overrated when we talk about whether someone has had success or not?
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's heavily, you know, weighted to where you end up, because you brought up a great example in Kyle Van Noy. I liked him coming out of BYU, and I thought he was going to be a stud in Detroit. And he felt as though, well, what's going on? Why can't he be as effective like he's doing, like he did at BYU? And are they using him right? Or are they putting him in position to be successful? Are the expectations too high? What's the issue? And you never really got a good answer. He goes to New England, and they're using him in a way to where he's like we talked about earlier with Warner, that his strengths are being, utilized best. And I think that's how you want to help these prospects realize. And I think the difference, the reason why you see stuff like this happen in the NFL is because everyone gets involved in the process at a different stage. So I asked this question when we were at the Combine to Sean McVay of the Los Angeles Rams. You know, unlike college, like we both are used to, you know, the coaches are heavily involved in a talent acquisition process, right? So they're in the middle of preparing for, let's say, Hawaii or Wyoming. They're still scouting high school players in preparation for recruiting visits or signing day. So they're doing both. In the NFL, they strictly focus on the NFL. And Coach told me that after the season, it's mostly their focus is mostly on free agency. So they're focusing on their own free agents, who they're going to keep, and other teams' free agents or who potentially could be signed by that team. They don't get involved into the draft process until maybe the combine or an all-star game, some coaches. So with that said, you may have a scout that's higher on a Kyle Van Noy, and the coach may not be as high on him based on when they got into the process. So now you have this conflict of interest where this guy is on the team, and as a coach, so I didn't really want him, but it's my job to coach him. But if I feel as though he's not a fit for what I want to do, then how can I make this guy better? So when that guy goes to someone that wants him and the feeling is mutual, that's when you start to see guys reach their full potential.
Yeah, that's great insight. Thank you. Well, every year that you've been on, now 3 years in a row, so I guess it's a trend, we talk about the quarterbacks because, it seems like quarterbacks make or break a lot of these NFL franchises and as going forward. And obviously there's the big four that everyone's talking about: Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Baker Mayfield. Of those four guys, Emery, which one, if you had to have a quarterback and you've got one of those first couple picks in the draft and you were advising a team, which of those quarterbacks do you think somebody should take?
Lamar Jackson.
You went off my list. I love it. I love it.
Exactly. That's the guy that, to me, is the one that changes the game. And I know you didn't mention him, but I want to make sure people understood that that's the player that I believe that can step in right away and impact the game because of what he does on both ends of offense, as a passer and also as a runner. His threat alone as a runner allows you to run the football a lot better. It dictates how teams cover you and how they defend you. You can't play man coverage all the time. You can't be a heavy blitz team against a guy that can get out there and scramble. And you really can't crash versus the run like you would a normal quarterback, because you have to really protect yourself because Jackson can get outside the pocket and pick up yards. So that helps out your running game. And when you have that talent combined with his ability to throw the football at every level, he has a nice collection of passing talents where he can throw from different angles. He has a strong enough arm to where he can attack the entire field. So you have all of that. And also, he's coming out of a pro-style offense, the same offense, quite honestly, that the Patriots run. So when you have all of that going for a prospect, I don't understand how he's not the clear-cut number one prospect in this draft when, I want to say, 16, 17 years ago, you had Michael Vick, an unpolished player, but was so dynamic, go number one. And I think Lamar Jackson is a better version of Michael Vick, more polished as a passer, just as explosive as a runner, and he's also more elusive to where he can protect himself so he doesn't get injured, which is what he didn't do. He hasn't been injured or hadn't gotten hurt at Louisville because of his ability to make you miss and also protect himself.
Yeah. So what, you mentioned Michael Vick, and if you look at, obviously, Lamar's resume in college, I mean, he ended up being close to 60% passing, improved his accuracy every year. Really, I'm with you. I've been a little bit shocked by, though it seems like he's clear, but I remember a couple months ago people were saying, well, he may be a second rounder, and I thought that's a little nuts when Josh Allen might be the first pick in the draft and completed about 50% of his passes this year. What do you think it is? Is it that he's not this? I mean, are people falling back in love with the the big arm, because it seemed like mobile guys seemed to be climbing up the charts the last couple of years after people got burnt with, you know, Russell Wilson falling so far and Dak Prescott, another quarterback that you came on the show before and said was a really good NFL prospect. But if you look at that top four, they all kind of look like mostly like quarterbacks you were, if you were evaluating quarterbacks in 1988.
Right. And maybe that was wrong back then to look at it that way, because we probably missed out on some great quarterbacks because they were forced to move positions or didn't get taken seriously because of their ability to run the ball. And I think a lot of it to me has to do with media narrative and perception, because let's look at this. This is so funny, because last year at this time, around this time when Baker Mayfield was thinking about coming out early, all the media was saying, oh, he's a mid-round type talent. He probably should go back. I mean, you don't take a quarterback that short, you know, in the first round. Plus, he's just an average guy. His system is, you know, inflated. So he's just an average prospect. He played the same exact game this year, and all of a sudden, he's supposed to be a top five pick. So what changed? You know, so I think a lot of it media narrative driven, and that, and unfortunately, and this is, you know, getting philosophical a little bit, but people ignore how important media is, because the media influenced the public. The public then influences the owners, whose sole purpose is to make money on their team. And the owners don't necessarily know football. And if they're pressuring the GMs, like, hey, pick this guy because the fans like him, we can sell jerseys, we can sell tickets, then the GM will make that move, despite it not being the best football move, because of what the media perspective or perception is, and the fans' reaction to what they're constantly getting beat over the head with day in, day out on now this 24 news cycle of sports media. I think that right there is the reason why you don't see Lamar Jackson's name up at the top, because the same people that's being entrusted to give fair, unbiased information has been telling people that his skills don't translate to the NFL. When they just watched Carson Wentz run around, they just watched Cam Newton go to the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson, doggone near 1-2, Colin Kaepernick, you know, Andrew Luck is a scrambler. It's funny, even with a guy like Case Keenum, you know, same type of offense Baker Mayfield came out of, just as good of an athlete as Baker Mayfield, not the same athlete, had his team on the brink of going to the Super Bowl when people just thought he was just a middling talent coming out of a spread offense. So I think how the media tells the story can ultimately influence how people react to the story.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and, you know, I'm obviously Lamar Jackson, we'll see where he goes. I think he'll somebody's going to trade up somewhere in that mid-first round to try to get him, would be my guess. Because somebody's going to think, I think like you do, Emery, that he could be a game changer for them. What's a quarterback that nobody's talking about? I've asked you this question every year, and you've been pretty good. You gave us Dak Prescott, that turned out pretty well, and you gave us Jacoby Brissett, who ended up being a trade chip and held down the fort for the Colts this past year. But who's somebody that we're not talking about outside of that top five quarterbacks who you think could potentially be a very productive NFL starter?
You know, that's a great question, because I think this is a guy that's coming from a major program that no one's talking about, and JT Barrett. Like, here's the thing. When you look at JT Barrett, you know he's not a first-round talent, right? There's no wowing attribute about his game. He doesn't have, like, this super rocket arm. He doesn't have blazing speed, you know. He's not the most elusive. He has been banged up, you know, had an injury, I believe, each and every season he's played. But every time I look up Ohio State is playing in a big game, winning a big game, in a bigger bowl game with prestige, and it's because JT Barrett has come through in the clutch. You go to this last bowl game, the Cotton Bowl, he outplayed Sam Darnold. And the thing is, at some point, you just have to account for or give guys credit for being successful field generals. And we're talking about guys that play well in the situation. You know JT Barrett doesn't fold under pressure. You know he finds a way to make things happen positively for his team. And to be honest, he was the best quarterback all week long at the East-West Shrine Game. And to the point where you kind of looked at him and it was like, wait a minute. You know, he does everything that they like to do at the pro level. You know, he says all the right things. All you heard about how well he was able to acclimate himself with the coaching staff, the both teams. He's a good guy on and off the field. He played a lot of games, logged a lot of big-time minutes, and he was out here just, you know, playing the position well, kept his offense on pace. So I think, he's a guy that's going to go later in the draft, be a number two, but in the preseason, you're going to be like, wait a minute, this guy is, you know, every time he's on the field, his offense goes on the field and scores points. And I think at some point you have to just, you know, it may not just be all about the attributes. Sometimes it's just about the production. I like to call him the Black Alex Smith. Like, nothing about it wows you, but for some reason you can't get rid of the guy and can't get him off the field.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I'll tell you, he is not, you look at any of the top analysts, I mean, often he's barely in their top 20 quarterbacks for the draft. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Well, Emory, as always, thank you for coming on the podcast. We'll, of course, you want to tell people where they can find you and your analysis online?
They can follow me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan, and always subscribe to the Football Game Plan Network, which is located on YouTube at youtube.com/footballgameplan. We have a ton of great content currently on the YouTube channel, but also coming down the pike. And always bookmark the website, footballgameplan.com.
Yeah, and if you want to see some of the Emory's thoughts on some prospects that are maybe not top of mind, they've got some videos out there that I checked out yesterday while I was sitting in an airport. So, well, thank you, Emory, for coming on the show again, and we'll have you on next time to talk about the draft.
I appreciate it.
Matt, for a week that basically there's almost nothing happening in BYU sports, or shouldn't be, there's a lot happening in BYU sports.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
So we should just hit it and talk about not BYU sports.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Let's delay that.
All right, let's hop into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So wait a second. Did you see this game that, I got to find that tweet now. I forgot to bookmark it.
Oh, it was a classic.
Where is it?
This is very interesting for the listeners.
This is awesome for the listeners. Was it Facebook?
Can you show up at least one time ever prepared? Once.
No. Why would I do
just
that
once.
Now?
That's all I ask for, you know? A shred of something resembling professionalism or amateurism or whatever it is we're trying
now?
To do here.
Who did it? Do you remember who said it? That we should have the game that he plays where he basically tries to do the sound effects before you do it. We need to give this person credit.
Who? I can't remember who it was.
Is this on Instagram? Facebook? That's the problem with all this social media garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage. I thought it was a Twitter. I thought it was on Twitter.
I thought it was on Twitter too, but I'm not finding it because I'm terrible at Twitter, apparently.
I don't even know how Twitter works.
I believe it uses the internet. Hey, you know what's really funny is, did you watch all that stuff where people are like Zuckerberg schooling the senators on how the internet works?
Oh my gosh.
You know
it
what
was hilarious.
You know what it was hilarious, but you know what I also found out about is hilarious? I get that Instagram and in this case one of the funniest ones was Snapchat use the internet, but I thought it was funny that somebody was saying that Zuckerberg was schooling them on social media. He wasn't schooling them on the internet. So I thought it was kind of ironic that somebody was like making fun of these senators who also maybe doesn't understand how the internet and social media work either.
Yikes.
I'm just saying. Though Zuckerberg, Zuckerberg's pretty funny. I can't find it.
I'll tell you what's really funny, and it's worth a look, is there's a writer who covers the Nationals whose name is Mark Zuckerman.
Yes, yes.
And he is very often, people will tweet nasty things about Mark Zuckerberg, but they'll accidentally at Mark Zuckerman in it, and he plays with them, and it is hilarious. Some of them, it takes several exchanges before they figure out what they've done.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty good.
Pretty funny. So anyway, I can't find the dang thing, so I apologize. But whoever you said that you did that, that's awesome. That was hilarious.
Did we even talk about what they said they did? So essentially, they're saying that they can get that. To my sound effects before I do.
I already
did
said you say that. It? Yeah.
This is, man, so I guess I really am that slow.
Can you listen to me for once? I don't come prepared, but you don't listen.
Everybody's got their thing.
Yeah.
It's part of my charm.
Yeah, that's part of your
Not
charm.
Listening to you is part of my charm.
Yeah, it's true. My wife says it's part of her charm, too. Matt Don, our brother, says he has an extra ticket for Infinity War for Saturday morning in IMAX. Either of you want to come? I'm going on my own. He does know that, right? That we have theaters here in Minnesota. They don't just have them in Texas. They're all over the place.
Are they open? I thought everything was snowed out in Minnesota this week.
It's all melted. Well, except for the big piles in the parking lots.
Yeah, but those never melt.
No, they'll be there all summer. Matt Jeremy Ashton on email sent us a question. He says, "Hey guys, great job on the Batman episode for Bleep the Podcast." Thank you, Jeremy. It was great to hear Matt's voice over there as well. Well, you're the only one who said that, Jeremy, so he appreciates that.
But not the only one who thought it. That's the key.
He should be a more regular contributor to Bleep. We'll see. We'll see if
I contribute lots of Bleep.
Yes, you do. He has to say that you were the most correct when it came to the best and worst Batman portrayals on the screen.
That's crazy. Because I said some pretty crazy things.
So using Tyler's Star Wars scale for the last from the last Rise and Shot episode, how excited are you for Infinity War? So Matt, from Attack of the Clones to Empire Strikes Back, how excited are you for Infinity War?
We decided Attack of the Clones is the worst one.
Yeah, it's definitely the worst one.
It's worse than Phantom Menace.
Oh, totally, totally. I think.
Okay.
I think. Right. I'm just making the scale up as I go, right? You know, our quarterback scale used to have people in it at the bottom, and we decided to stop doing that. So I don't think George Lucas listens to this, so I don't think it's going to be insulting.
We're not
going to
worry about hurting his feelings.
Nope.
I'm trying to pick one that's kind of middle of the pack, to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous about Infinity War.
Oh my gosh, stop it. I'm freaking Empire of the Strikes Back excited. Empire of the Strikes Back? I don't know what I just said, but that's
exciting. You can't even make a coherent sentence.
No, I can't. I'm so excited. You're worried. Stop your worrying, old man. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no, it's this whole thing. We talked about this on Bleep the Podcast, actually. When they're making these movies and they pile in like every single character,
It's fine. It's not going to be the best Marvel movie ever, but it's going to be fun and entertaining and 2.5 hours of awesome. So, you know, slow down there, Turbo.
All right.
So on Instagram, and you can do @bleep. See, I can't even do what I'm doing. At BYU _ Rise Shout on Instagram. Todd, that's Todd and D, says, "I'm late on this, but favorite episode of Rise and Shout was definitely the Bearcat Made It scandal." Well, that was kind of almost a whole season of episodes.
That was a saga.
Todd. So he said, "What's more likely to give me a heart attack, the bacon brat hot dog concoction at Lambeau, or Matt using the creepy whisper voice that he promised not to? # tweetbag, # grambag, # climb on into creepiness."
Did I really promise not to use the whisper?
You said you weren't going to use it anymore multiple times.
But does that constitute a promise?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know that I promised anybody anything.
Well, nobody should trust a guy that uses a creepy voice like that anyway.
Probably true.
So anyway, Sweeney added on this. He said,
"I'm trying to come in. I'm coming in hot with the sound effects
you're
tonight.
Coming in hot.
I'm not even let you finish the sentence. I can't remember who it is.
You're coming in hot.
That set this game up, but I'm beating them tonight.
My attitude
is the same as Westbrook's attitude about Rubio before they played that game last night.
We're gonna get some jazz stuff. Actually, we're gonna get to some jazz stuff here in a bit." Which we don't usually do the jazz on this podcast, but we are today. Justin had this to say on Facebook. He said, "Trying to decide which is scarier, the tweet bag whispers or these HD ultra close-ups of Adam's face. Really, Justin? That's where we're going now? That's what this is coming?
He went right for the jugular right there. Well, I mean, he's not even holding back.
I've been very clear.
It's a fair point he makes.
No, it isn't. I've been very clear from the beginning, from the very beginning, okay, that I have a face for radio. That's why we did this as a podcast.
That guy from ESPN.
Yeah. Did you just say that? Stop it, all right? Our faces are almost exactly the same.
That's not true. I'm much better looking than you are. No, you're not. But then that's at the end of those Instagram shout-outs, what people don't know is that you tear off the suit top and you've got a Slayer t-shirt and a ponytail in the back.
Well, what they really don't know is I'm wearing no pants. Is that too much?
That's always true.
Was that too much? Probably not too much, actually.
It's uncomfortable. That's almost as uncomfortable as the tweet bag whispers, which almost sounds like a medical condition. It's like hot rock bottom. I got the tweet bag whispers.
It's CougarFan82. It's CougarFan82, right? No, he came up with something else. Dang it. He was on the podcast last week, 2 weeks ago. Anyway, I can't find who it is. All right, Matt, and let's go next to the CougarFan.com.
Cougars in the news!
Oh, my gosh. Dude, let me finish the sentence, you nerd.
I'm out in front.
Maybe it was a Facebook thing. Was it a Facebook thing? No, it was a Twitter thing, right?
I don't know. I just know I'm not losing tonight.
I'm sorry, whoever this is. This is an epic fail.
I'm destroying you.
Hashtag epic fail. Men's volleyball, Matt, wins the MPSF tournament and gets a bye to the final four of the NCAA tournament as the number two seed in the NCAA tournament. They took it to UCLA in the finals of the MPSF tournament, winning in four sets to revenge a loss from earlier in the season against the Bruins. They will face the winner of UCLA and Havant.
Harvard. How do you like them apples?
That's right. I got a number. And then if they win that, of course, they will play the winner of Long Beach State, and who's the number one seed. And there's three teams that Long Beach State might be playing: King out of Tennessee, reigning champion Ohio State, and very familiar UC Irvine, the Anteaters. So really good shot, I think, for BYU to break this streak of making it to the championship game and not bring it home. So we'll be rooting for the Cougars. They play May 3rd. Is that matchup against either Havant or UCLA?
I got the tweet bag whispers.
Oh my gosh, stop it. And then Sean Olstead was named MPSF Coach of the Year in just his third year coaching the Cougars. So congratulations to Coach Olstead.
Good job.
Oh, and by the way, I should have mentioned, you should check out Bleep the Podcast. You can check us out on iTunes. There's links in the show notes. And our brother Sam and I should drop on Wednesday. There will be a new episode where we preview all of the geeky summer movies. So
you guys recorded an episode without me?
Yes.
You didn't? That's cool.
I thought it was cool. How many Rise and Shout episodes have we recorded without him?
That's cool.
Hey, do you want to hear actually something funny about that episode that'll be edited out? I called him.
Yes.
I called him Matt about 20 times. I was like in podcast like mode, and I'm like, "Well, Matt," and then he's like, "It's Sam." Still, I'm like, "Ha crap." So,
Funny. That is, because he's the one who's going to edit all that.
Yeah, because he edits those podcasts. So Anyway, well, Matt, let's talk about the NFL draft. We already had Emory Hunt
with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Oh my gosh, sit down, Goodell. We did it reverse. That's my thing.
You didn't do it. You didn't do it, and I didn't want to get beat to the sound effect.
You're killing me right now.
I can't. Listen, I'm carrying you on my back tonight.
You're no such thing. You're not doing anything. You're not carrying anything.
There is one goal tonight, and it's for whoever this person is not to beat me to any sound effect.
Well,
I don't even know who this person is. I just can't stand Luke.
Now you're just saying it randomly. It's weird. All right, so Matt, Fred Warner, there are predictions in the second round. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And I think most, the consensus seems to be third or fourth round, and maybe even a little bit lower than that, depending on who it is. Matt, is it going to be higher or lower than where Kyle Van Noy was in the draft? What is that, 3-4 years ago now?
I think it's going to be lower.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you look at it. When you look at Kyle Van Noy's draft, right? So he was. Let's see. I was trying to look this up. What total pick he was? And I'll find it here in a minute. But he, you know, if you told me, okay, take away all the hype and whatever else, coming out of college, which player do you want? Fred Warner or Kyle Van Noy?
Kyle Van Noy.
Is it close?
It's close, but I think it's still Kyle Van Noy. I mean, Kyle Van Noy had games that he just absolutely took over.
Yeah. Now he was drafted in the second round, 40th overall, and I agree. I don't think Fred Warner's going to go that high, but I don't know. I like Fred Warner. He did a great job at BYU. I'm high on him. I think he'll be a good pro. When I see these like second round or early third round projections, I'm like, gosh, I don't know that his college work did that, but of course he had a great Senior Bowl and put up some big numbers in the combine. So maybe that is where it ends. And like we've said before, all it takes is one person, one team, to roll with it. So we'll see. We shall see. Matt,
yeah, he's probably a day three guy.
Will you be watching day one and day two of the draft this year?
So I'm going to be traveling. I don't know that I'm going to see much of the draft.
Yeah, I'll see some. But man, as you and I get off my lawn, as you and I have been saying for a couple of years, I used to watch a lot more of it when it was on Saturday.
If they just did it all on Saturday, I'd be all over it. I'd sit down. I could watch a whole Saturday and just do it. But the way they drag it out, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. So here's a few other Cougars and where they're being shown. And I'm referencing Robbie McComb's piece in VanquishTheFoe.com to help us out here a little bit. Give credit to Robbie. Jonah Trenneman is another player. He had a big pro day performance, put up big numbers. Basically, I think he ran the fastest 40 time in the history of human creation, I believe. I can't remember the details.
That seems like an extreme description.
Yeah. But anyway, Chicago Bears are a pick. Multiple mock drafts have been going to the Chicago Bears in one of the last couple of their picks. Those type of things, it always seems like that's not what happens.
So no, these guys are like weathermen, right? They make a bunch of money talking and making predictions about something, and nobody cares if they're actually right or not. People just like to talk about it.
That's right.
Or feel like they know what to expect in the case of the weather.
Yeah. So interesting for sure. So Trenneman, buying or selling Jonah Trenneman gets drafted in the NFL draft.
Selling.
I am also selling on that one. I'm going to be a little bit shocked even with the numbers he put up, but I think he will definitely sign a rookie. He maybe one training. Of those priority contracts, but I don't think he'll get drafted.
No, I mean, how often does that happen where a guy gets drafted based off his pro day performance at his school?
Not
a guy that wasn't previously really on the radar. I mean, I just
and who didn't really put up big. Like, it'd be different if he put up big collegiate numbers, and then people are like, but they just hadn't seen his film, and now you go back and the buzz starts, right? But Trenneman, not that he was bad at BYU, he just, you know, and obviously you and I have talked about this before with him, it could be the fact that QB play and the offensive system was not great the last couple of seasons, too. Certainly doesn't make him look any better. But anyway, the next one on the list, Matt, is Tomasi Lalile. Gosh, I'm so bad at pronunciations. Despite, you know, he didn't play in 2017, but had a really strong pro day. He's met with the Chiefs, Saints, Texans, and then another report came out that the defensive line coach of the Indianapolis Colts went out to work out him and one of the other D linemen, but I can't think of it now off the top of my head. But So Matt, buying or selling that he will get drafted.
Selling.
I'm also selling. Though I think I'd give him a better shot than Trinnaman.
And I'm not, obviously this is a guy that he could end up in camp somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think somebody's going to spend a draft pick on a guy that they will more likely than not be able to pick up after the draft and invite him to camp.
And, you know, we'll see what the reports are with these teams, right? But, I mean, he didn't play last year, right? So there's, you know, there is some of that. Matt, Tejan Karoma is one who I've thought was going to be a draft pick early on in his career, kind of disappeared, honestly, off of the radar the last couple of seasons. Not getting a lot of buzz, though. We talked about it a couple weeks ago that the Cowboys are rumored. There's a couple of Cowboys writers at DallasCowboys.com that have connected him to the Cowboys, and Pro Football Focus has, in their mock draft, the Saints taking Tejan with us in the seventh round. Obviously, four-year starter, all that stuff. Buying or selling Tejan Karoma, here's his name called in the NFL draft.
I'm going to go ahead and buy this one.
I'm going to sell it. I think he should, but I'm going to sell it. I want to buy it, but I think I'm going to sell it.
Buy it. Come on, go for it. No, don't be afraid.
Tooney Kanuch, another offensive lineman, had a really good career, though, when he played, but he had injury issues. Pro Football Focus actually has him getting drafted in that same mock draft that sent Karoma to the Saints, has the Colts drafting him in the seventh round. Buying or selling Tooney Kanuch, hearing his name called.
I'm selling Tooney Kanuch.
I am selling as well, though I think all of these players will get a chance to make training camp.
I think they're all going to get a chance to try out for a team, yes.
Yeah. Though Tomasi, I mean, it really depends on how he looks early, right, in training camp or in the rookie camps, if you will. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, BYU is not right now have a multiple guys drafted, right? That's not what's the MO lately for the Cougars. So anyway, nope. as I said before, the Colts did work out Tomasi as well as Kensi Tausinga, and I don't think Tausinga will be drafted, but I really like him as a guy that could catch on. I thought he was a good solid guy that could potentially be depth for some NFL team on the D-line, but we'll see with him as well.
Yep.
Matt, QBs. We're looking at the NFL draft. There's going to be a bunch of QBs taken this year. If you had the first pick and you needed a QB, who are you taking?
Not one of these guys.
Well, not Tausinga. You don't want him as your QB. But who are you taking?
I probably Lamar.
You know, that's funny. You haven't listened to it, but that's what Emory Hunt said too. He loves Lamar. I gave him the top four on the big draft board by hair guy. What's his name? I can't think of his name right now. Who always gets it wrong? He's one of those guys.
Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper. He's one of those guys that gets it wrong. He's like the poster boy for what you just said, right? Isn't he the poster boy for that?
Oh, that's exactly, and he makes a whole living out of not knowing who's going to be drafted when.
That's anyway. So Kiper's board has the top four as Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield is the top four. Lamar Jackson sitting right out of it, though he has him as the 15th best prospect. So it's not like he doesn't like him. But would you draft, say Jackson's gone, draft Allen or wait for later in the rounds to find a quarterback? Wait later in the draft.
Wait later in the draft.
Darnold.
Wait a minute, what?
Sam Darnold. Would you take Darnold? Say Jackson's gone, but you need a quarterback. Would you take Sam Darnold or wait for somebody later in the draft? I'd take Darnold, I think.
Later in the...
You can.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to say wait.
What about Josh Rosen? I'm waiting. I was never impressed with him at the college level. What about Baker Mayfield?
Waiting.
I think I'm also waiting. I think I like getting like Mason Rudolph or Luke Falk, one of those guys later than I do spending a top draft pick. Now here's an interesting thought that people have talked about before, and nobody's really done it except the Cowboys back with the supplemental draft. They had Steve Walsh and Troy Aikman back in, what was that, 89, right? Mm-hmm. 89 draft. If you're the Browns and you have two picks, what if you took two QBs?
Well, that would be such a Browns thing to do.
No, I think it's the anti-Brown things to do. You take two QBs, and then you have a chance, better chance that one of them pops, right?
They're both going to pop in a bad way.
No, I'm saying you take a Lamar Jackson and you take one of these other guys and see who goes. I mean, it worked out for the Cowboys. Walsh kind of petered out, and obviously Aikman turned into a pretty darn good quarterback and a very mediocre color guy.
He's not nearly. Listen, of all current color guys on TV that were former Dallas Cowboys, there's only one who's number one.
Tony Romo.
Oh, Tony Romo's the best.
Tony Romo's awesome. I thought he'd be terrible. Honestly, I thought he'd. I remember thinking like Tony Romo. Like this is. Do they just as automatically, if you're a Cowboy quarterback, you get a shot in a big booth?
My only regret about this thing with Romo is I wish he would have retired and done this sooner.
Would have saved him a lot of pain.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyway, I don't actually – I would actually probably take Darnold over Lamar Jackson. But I don't know. Matt, are any of these guys worth a top five pick?
I don't think so. I don't think any of these – There, none. You don't have a franchise quarterback in here, I don't think.
If you're one of these teams, though, you kind of have to take the chance, though, right? That one of them is because, you know, franchise quarterbacks make or break you. No? Yes?
I think you do. I think you, and because of the way the whole thing works now.
Or would you take
one of these guys and hope they're not a loser? I would take Barkley.
I really like
Chubb. If I had the number one pick, I would take Barkley.
I think I'd take Chubb.
I would take Chubb over one of these quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, Roquan Smith is really good. There's a couple offensive linemen that are, you know, highly rated. I don't know if any of the DBs I would take over Darnold or Lamar Jackson if I needed a QB, obviously.
Think finding a quarterback is, I think, the great example. I think there's still some time. This is going to have to bear out. But I think the great example is the Garoppolo model. You let a guy get picked up by another team, let them develop a little bit, get a little bit of film, see him play a little bit in the NFL, and then you know what you're really getting when you go after that guy. The problem with all of these quarterbacks this year is they've all got weird question marks. Right, some of them I don't even understand. Like Josh Allen, I still don't understand why he's even in the conversation. Right, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
So I hear what you're saying, but of the top 10 quarterbacks last year in the NFL, okay, in total QBR according to ESPN, Wentz high draft pick, Casey Keenum, Tom Brady were not right. So and Keenum is kind of the poster boy a little bit for what you just said, right? Or maybe not the poster boy, but he was developed, slowly.
You know who else is? Tom Brady is.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Dak Prescott.
He didn't switch teams, but he didn't come in and nobody expected him to start right away.
No, Dak Prescott was later. Matt Ryan was fifth. He obviously was a high draft pick. Roethlisberger was a mid-first round. Stafford, high draft pick. Alex Smith, high draft pick. Drew Brees, high draft pick. Russell Wilson. So actually, five out of the top 10 last year were not high draft picks. So, anyway. All right, well, let's get back to BYU sports. Let's talk a little bit about football. Mercury News had this interesting article that said the Pac-12 needs BYU to be good, not to join the conference in football, but basically to prop up the strength of schedule for a lot of these Pac-12 teams. And Matt, I read this and I it makes a really good argument that it, you know, they really do need BYU to be a quality team and win some of these Pac-12 games. You know, just not against the right teams, right? If you're looking at Washington or some of the others who might have sights on the college football playoff. But think of this was 10% of their non-conference games over the next 5 years are BYU.
That's crazy. You wonder if somebody is sitting back paying attention to that number, right?
Well, it's only nine teams that he's factored crazy. But nine teams, but still 10% of those nine teams, that's Utah, Washington, basically everybody that we're playing over the next 5 years, their out-of-conference schedule is 10%. That's pretty amazing. But I don't care about the Pac-12, so I just want us to be good and beat the crap out of them.
But what's interesting is, you know, when you get in conversations around and what type of schedule we're playing and where we may belong and our ability to demonstrate that we can compete at that level, I think that's a big deal. I think that's what makes this an interesting statistic for me. You know, I don't know. We're never going to join the Pac-12, right?
No.
But, you know, getting ourselves into a position where we're considered with those groups or among those teams, I it can only help.
That's how independence is working, right? Is we're basically partial members from a scheduling perspective of the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, right? I mean, that's how it's working. And speaking of the Mountain West, there's rumors out there, Matt, that there's going to be a home-and-home with Wyoming! Are you excited?
Why would we do this to ourselves?
I don't know. I have no idea why we're... I mean, you got to fill the schedule with somebody. But Wyoming is locked up through 2021, so it's probably 2022, but you never know. I mean, Wyoming is, say, locked up, but they could be looking at BYU to fill something that's changing that just hasn't been announced, right? Zero to Detmer. How excited are you about a Wyoming home and home?
Zero.
Zero. Same here. Matt, in recruiting news, that's how little we're going to spend on this. In recruiting news, Mitch Harper is reporting that Jacob Conover, four-star quarterback prospect from Chandler, Arizona, is really seriously considering Arizona State. They're also potential at BYU, Oregon State, and Stanford. Looks like he might be leaning towards joining Herm Edwards' program over there, and it could be another high-profile LDS quarterback that decides not to go to BYU. Matt, big deal or no deal that Jacob Conover might not end up at BYU?
I'm gonna say no deal. We've talked a lot about the recruiting stuff in the past, and you know what this really means. You don't even know if this kid's gonna be good. But the other thing for everybody to keep in mind is we really struggle when these top LDS athletes choose to go to school somewhere else, and people like to try and pin that on the program or the coaches, and think, oh well, all the top LDS kids should want to come and play football at BYU. And I just don't think that's a realistic expectation to put on those kids or on the coaching staff, that there's some default that just because a kid's a member of the church, he's going to come play at BYU. He may have zero interest in playing at BYU.
Yeah.
You know, he may have zero interest in attending BYU, and that's okay. And we've just got to get around that. We've got to, as a group of fans, we've got to get over this thing where we believe if we're not landing all the top LDS kids, we're doing something wrong.
Right. Right. And on top of that, I mean, quite frankly, the fact that, you know, do you think Herm Edwards is even going to be a coach by the time this guy starts?
No, Herm Edwards, is he even really technically? I mean, really?
I mean, really? I follow him on Twitter, and I have a bad feeling about Arizona State.
He's going to be up in the booth during games. I mean,
if I were a recruit, I'd steer clear and let that play out for a couple of years. But I mean, it's Herm Edwards, and you've seen him on TV, so that's exciting.
He's been to the league and, you know, and some other things. I'd imagine Herm Edwards shows up to recruit you. I would imagine that his pitch would be very persuasive.
Why? Based on what?
No, I could see him selling it.
Okay.
I could see him being a good recruiter.
I could see him with a good Yes, with a good pitch. Yes, yeah. Sure. Okay. But he was 54-74 in the NFL as a coach.
Nah, nobody cares about that.
So nobody cares about that. Well, if his pitch is I'm an NFL guy, and he basically got knocked into the booth because he wasn't a good coach. Like, I mean, I'm not, you know, he had a couple of decent years with the Jets. This guy coached as many bad teams as he did mediocre to good teams.
That just means he's got a breadth of experience.
Yeah, he's got a breadth of something. All right, so let's talk basketball now. Elijah Bryant, not really a shocker, would have been a shocker a couple months ago, but I think, you know, things had started leaking out. He has decided to go pro, okay? So, Matt, you and I have talked about this before. We don't need to belabor it. More power to him, whatever he wants to do, right?
Good luck, Three Elijah.
He's 23 years old, has decided, and you and I talked about this before, I don't think he will be on an NFL roster or even the...
No, I don't see him. I don't see him cracking an G-League. NFL roster.
I think he's playing in Europe next year.
You said NFL roster.
And I did say he will definitely not be on an NFL roster.
I don't know that he's any more likely to be on an NBA roster.
Oh, ouch.
But, no, actually, you know, he is. Statistically, he is. But he's not going to go to the NBA.
What I'm more interested in is how this affects the rest of the team. Okay, so what does that 2019... I'm going to move around you see where I highlighted there, Matt, on the good old agenda? I'm moving around on you a little bit.
I got you.
So what does that 2019... What does that 2019 team look like? Okay. So I'm going to start with this, okay? Let's assume for the purposes of this, which is a huge assumption, that Yoeli Childs will be on the team, okay? Okay, so you start with Childs, you've got Hawes. Now, Emery, I don't know if Emery's going to be on the team. Emery and Coach Rose seem to be pointing towards yes, so I guess let's assume Emery's on the team, which is also a big assumption. Okay, so you build the team around Childs, Hawes, and Emery. You go where I'm getting here that I said there's these big ifs. What if Childs and Emery don't come?
I'm not sure that either of them will.
Here's why I'm saying all of this, okay? If Childs and Emery don't come back, we're not going to be very good next year. Last year, people will be pining for the 2018 team. And the record.
No, that's now you're just making me sad.
I mean, there's a couple of good recruits coming, right? So there's not, it's not like we're going to go back to like the, you know, where they win four games or something and they're at the bottom of the WCC. I mean, they've got Gavin Baxter and Connor Harding returning from missions, both kind of the small forward slasher types. And then there's the, I have no idea. You're the Russian guy. How do I pronounce this name? Agassi-Tanoyan, the 6'8" Russian.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. Who was going to potentially, according to Jay Drew, join the program last year, but couldn't meet BYU's requirements on an English language aptitude test. So I mean, there's some intriguing prospects that could play that could make my prediction a little silly. But let's go to Childs for a second. Do you think he's coming back? I mean... And Chase Blyle asked this, with Eli leaving, are there chances that Yoeli is going? Does that increase it?
I think it increases it.
I don't think it affects it, to be honest.
Oh, no, come on. If you're him and you're looking at this, at the way this is shaking out.
It's your team next year. You're going to get right. You're going to get 24-12. I think you could spin it either way, right? In his head, it could be spun either way. I will be the man. It will be like Mika last year. The offense will run through Yoeli.
Well, and I think that if you know Emery's going to be back, right?
It changes
and
it. Yeah.
I think that definitely changes the math there, right? But if you don't think Emery's going to come back and Elijah's gone, like, then you just got to wonder what is the value of that? What is the value of me being the man on this team? You think you're looking at you're 24-12?
Yes. If you've got Emery and Childs, I think you can be about the same. as you were last year.
Okay. Well, I guess that's probably fair. But if you don't have Emory, I don't know that you break 20 wins.
I don't know. It really depends on which Emory
you
get.
You got some of these other guys. I don't know. Maybe you still do.
And
I don't
what
know.
Do you
maybe.
Get with Baxter and Harding? I'm not even going to really put Tenoyan on there because I don't really know anything about him except a little bit of the reports and you know, whatever else. But if you look at the current roster, the reason I bring this up is, you know, Peyton Dastrup, Dalton Nixon, Evan Troy, Worthington, Celius Cannon, Hartnett, you know, none of the guys on the roster behind that group that I've just talked about make me think that, you know, those are guys that should not be in your top five. And I don't mean no disrespect to any of them. They should be in your, like, 7-10, right? 6-10.
Mm-hmm.
And if both of those guys are gone, you're going to have a couple of the names I just mentioned that will be in our top five for next year. And that's what has me worried about the 2019 team. But again, like I said, if Childs and Emory come, then I think we can be about the same. And heck, if one of these newcomers pops, maybe you're even better. Because quite frankly, I mean, everyone's talking about, oh, Childs and Elijah Bryant. They were not even close to where Mika was the year before as far as quality goes, right? So these guys are replaceable. They're not that good. They were very good. But there are players on this roster, heck, including Hawes, if he finally puts it all together, that could be even better than what Childs was this year. Do you think I'm crazy with that?
No, I don't think that's crazy. But I don't know that I'd say it's likely, but it's certainly, I mean, it's a reasonable scenario to consider, right?
Yes. I think it's reasonable based on his pedigree and even what he's done mm-hmm. to a certain level. And I think, you know, the difference really is, you know, if you lose both of your best players, and we could argue probably about whether Bryant or Childs was better this year or more important to the team, but when you lose your two best players, you often see a step back, right? So, you know, it's a young team, and yes, there's some guys that could pop, but if you lose both those guys, I don't like the chances of being better than last year. Matt, there are rumors, by the way, that Childs may have a $150,000 contract offer overseas already. I don't know if those are true, but I've seen them around, and we'll see how that goes. Matt, we're going to finish off with our final shout here. And by the way, if you want to join the tweet bag or climb on in, as some weird people say, there's four ways to do it now, right? Twitter.
Four or five. I mean, who even knows anymore? Yeah.
@BYU_RiseShout. There's Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. There's Instagram at Instagram, that we're BYU_RiseShout on Instagram, if you search for us there. There's snail mail, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. We don't actually have an actual physical address for this podcast, so you can't do that. Matt, two things in our final shout. The first one is from Andre Hutchins. That's @AC_Hutchins. He says, please discuss Mitt Romney trolling Russell Westbrook. Matt, discuss. On a scale
one of the
zero,
greatest things I've ever seen.
It's awesome. But my biggest question is what jersey is he wearing? The number five, is that hood? It's got to be hood, right? He doesn't already have a Stockton kid jersey. But it's possible. Like, everyone's talking about that. Why isn't anyone talking about what jersey? If he had a hood jersey, why the hood? Why did he have a hood jersey?
You're Mitt Romney, right? I mean, you can have any jersey. You can have any jersey
That's
you
what
want.
I'm saying. He could buy whatever jersey he wants. You know, he jump on the Donovan Mitchell train. Don't wait. Right? Do the Rubio thing.
It looks like a pretty new jersey, right? I mean, I don't know how often Mitt Romney wears a Jazz jersey.
Boozer was number five, but I don't think they had that jersey exactly when Boozer was there. So I don't think it's Boozer.
You wonder, right?
I want to
like,
know.
So did Mitt Romney walk in? Did Mitt Romney walk into the arena
and somebody handed him a jersey?
He decided he wanted to buy a jersey, or somebody went to go get a jersey and they saw the name Stockton on there. They're like, oh, we'll get him a John Stockton jersey, not even realizing what they were doing.
Do you think they're even selling little boy Stockton jerseys in there? They probably are, right?
Well, I'm sure they are. And if you're Mitt Romney, there's at least one jersey you're not going to wear.
You're not going to wear Hayward.
Rubio. You're not wearing Rubio.
Why? Because of the long hair?
No. Because it's the name of a politician.
Oh.
Who was it? Reggie Miller who kept calling Ricky Rubio Mark Rubio?
Yeah, that's true. I thought you were going to say Hayward because he'd get booed.
But you're not going to do that either.
No, you're not going to wear it. If you still had the Hayward jersey, you're keeping that at home.
I saw somebody on Twitter. They posted a picture of somebody who had taken their Hayward jersey and turned the last name into Squidward.
I've said this before on this podcast, and I know the Jazz fans hate it. I don't understand the vitriol. Players leave all the time. Get over it. I mean, seriously. I know he went to the Celtics, but it wouldn't matter where he went. You know, it's not like he did a nationally televised thing where he made kids from Cleveland cry, right? Like,
that was awesome.
I mean, these guys make the decision. Was it the right decision?
At a school and bring a lot of local kids in and crush their hopes and dreams.
Crush their hopes and dreams, but come back later and win a championship with that team. So, I mean,
school all comes full circle.
I mean, Hayward may be back with the Jazz someday. And
Denver get his foot sewed back on.
His leg, really. Justin D. Sweeney has something for us. How about a long overdue game of Answering Machine?
Oh, boy.
All right. Answering Machine time, Matt. Here's where I explain the...
Poorly explain
the rules. Here's how it works. One of us calls the other of us.
Oh, jeez. Every time. You do this every time.
And... one of us picks.
Someone calls someone, and then someone picks. Which someone are we talking about?
Yeah. And you, for example, I could pretend to be the voice.
Now
he's going to
use an example. So if you didn't understand it a minute ago, it's just about to get worse.
I pick to do an answering machine message for somebody. You don't know ahead of time who it is, and then you have to leave a message. I actually think that was a good. That was a good explanation.
Oh, really? So one person is going to do an answering machine message, and the other person is going to do an answering machine message?
No, that's essentially what you said. Leave it. Leave a message.
You said,
Shut up. Do an answering machine message,
and then the other person will do an answering machine message.
You explain it next time. All right. So here it is. He suggested, but we don't have to use these. Herr Thompson, Aaron Roderick, Bonnie Fuller. And a certain Supreme Court justice. So, Matt, first one up, you're going to pick the person, and I'm going to leave a message on that person's voicemail.
So you're going to own it right now! So just to be clear, you're going to dial.
I'm going to dial. You're going to give me a voicemail. What do they call that?
Oh, the wheels came off.
I had it! Why are you grilling me on this? Thanks for the interrogation, jerk. All right, here I'm gonna bedial.
I'm gonna bedial. This is like bedazzle.
That's right. Have you ever seen my phone?
I think if you're gonna bedial, it has to be like boop 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 boop.
Shut up. I'm dialing. You don't get to decide how I dial.
Sorry.
Beep 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 beep.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Herr Thompson from the Mountain West Conference. I'm not available to take your call right now because I'm out doing whatever I can to try and make BYU look foolish. But don't worry, I will end up looking foolish in the end. Anyway, leave me a message and I may or may not call you back. Beep.
Craig, buddy, it's Adam Mangum from the Rise and Shout podcast. It's really good to see you back in the news again doing your hair type of things and trying to apparently... make Gonzaga, BYU, the West Coast Conference, and basically all of America try to look bad, but really just only made yourself look bad, Craig. I would retire if I were you and maybe go run the Pac-12. Peace out. He could run the Pac-12, right? I think he'd do a better job.
Yeah, into the ground.
He's really good at he could be consistently good at not having games on television, just like the Pac-12. He's really good at that.
He's really good. If they're looking to not televise their games, he is their man.
He's really good. All right, you dial.
Boop, 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 boop. It was a long distance call. What are you?
Who are you calling?
I've got a cell phone with a Virginia error code. None of these people live in Virginia. It was a long distance call. And besides, why do we even do that? Whose phone beeps when they dial numbers anymore?
I don't know.
So anyway, the phone should be ringing right now. Ring, another archaic ring, and outdated sound.
Ring, ring. Hello. You've reached the voicemail for Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. If you are calling about the hot dog argument, I would like to say that anything that I say on a late show is not applicable to the laws of the United States. Thank you, and leave your message after the tone. Beep.
Ruthie, listen, we all know the score here. A hot dog is a sandwich. You said it yourself. It's meat and bread. It's a sandwich. Whether or not you currently want to admit it based on a fake message that my brother just made of you, even though he sounds eerily like you and some might argue kind of looks like you. But whether or not Adam agrees with the facts, whether or not anyone else agrees with the facts, we all know a hot dog's a sandwich. And deep down, you know it too. You know it too, Ruthie. All right, well, talk to you later.
I don't know what's more disturbing. Later.
Me and Justice Ginsburg go way back.
I don't know what's the most disturbing thing. You and the creepy climb-on invoice, or you calling the Supreme Court Justice Ruthie?
I got the Twitter whispers.
You do have the Twitter whispers for sure. Well, Matt, that's all we've got for today. Next week, we are off again. Sorry about that, but got other things going on that will prevent us from recording a podcast next week. But check out our Instagram for what we're calling Insta Shouts, where we do a little bit of something and talk about, you know, what news is going on. I had some about Fred Warner and Tejan Kuroma. And also, you know, I'm sure whatever BYU news comes up, you'll see Matt and I's ugly faces telling you all about it.
Our ugly mugs.
Our ugly mugs. Mugs that only a mother could love, and faces that were meant for radio, right? Or podcasting. Well, thanks for everybody for downloading and listening. Definitely go to iTunes and leave a review if you haven't done that before. You know, we're catching on like fire in certain parts of the country. So tell your friends and neighbors that you listen to the Rise and Shout podcast, especially those that care about BYU sports or just like to laugh or hear grown men giggle. So
because we do that.
We do, and today there was enough of that. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next
Go
time.
Go Cougars.
Gosh, you're terrible. Stop it.
I had to be out in front of it. I'm not going to lose the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, I'd say you lost it in the first quarter.
I've been
quarter.
Sitting here for the last 30 seconds waiting for you to start wrapping it up so that I could say that.